Yo, what's good, Lagos? My name is Eclipse and Cassie, and you're hanging right here on Surviving Echo Podcast with none other than Fecko in the building.
What's good? It's your boy Fecko, and I'm live in Accra, and I've been here for like a week, and so far I think I've enjoyed my stay. On today's episode of Surviving Echo, I have my homie Young Pabby. So guys, meet Young Pabby. Before I pass the mic to Young Pabby, I would like to say this. So Young Pabby is, you know, a rising talent out of Accra, and we met on the Take Back the Mic app during the Take Back the Mic competition, and we just collaborated on the song. So Young Pabby, let's meet you.
Yo, Charlie, what's up? You know, in Ghana, Charlie is another one thing, and yeah. When you say Charlie, it means my brother, what's up or something. Yeah, my name is Young Pabby. Rapper, artist, songwriter from Ghana, and yeah,
creative director.
Yeah, a little bit directing here and there, you know. I enjoy it's all about being creative and all that, but yeah, so I'm here with Fecko. You know how we do.
That's what's up. So you guys already know what this podcast is all about. You know, it's talking about Lagos and, you know, the happenings in Lagos and everything, but today we'll be doing something different. We're doing like a Lagos versus Accra thing, you get me? So traffic in Lagos is crazy, you know. Sometimes you spend up to like 4 hours in traffic and it can become depressing. But since I was here in Accra, I don't think I've spent up to like 15 minutes in traffic. What do you think about traffic here in Accra?
Traffic here depends on where you're going and what you are actually in, the kind of vehicle you are in. So if you're picking a public transport, I think the traffic is different, because then the car needs to stop and drop people somewhere, pick other people and all that. But if you're driving your own car, then you get to like flow through, you understand? And it's, if it's a busy day, if it's a rush hour, it's a different situation. Because then
rush hours are like Monday morning.
No, rush hours are like, okay, Monday morning, and then after, yeah, after work and all that. Yeah, so then it depends on all that. But apart from that, If you know your way, I mean, the shortcuts, yeah, I think you'll not be bothered about traffic. And then the time to go out and all that. Mm-hmm. But it's like every other country, you know, rush hour, that's when the traffic.
When you were in Lagos, what was traffic like when you were in Lagos?
In Lagos, I think the second time, that was when I saw traffic. But it was more like driving. I was driving when I was in Lagos. Okay. Yeah, I was driving when I was in Lagos because the person I went to had a car. And then he's not good at driving like that, so I'll be driving around and all that. But it was only when I was going to where I was, like coming from Ghana, that was when I saw traffic, you know. I encountered traffic, but the traffic was normal. I don't think I've seen the worst traffic in Nigeria yet. Maybe because I've not been to the places where the traffic are or something like that. Yeah, but I don't think I've experienced that yet.
Okay. So that's fair enough, actually. But I think if you've been to places like Lagos Island, Aja, like into, you know, like deep into Lagos City, you're definitely going to experience traffic. Even on the mainland in Lagos, there's huge traffic there, you know. And I think one of the reasons is because we don't have like so many alternative routes for other cars to pass, you know. But now I heard they're constructing more roads, and you know, hopefully, you know, one thing about projects in Africa, not just Nigeria, a certain minister, or should I say a president or governor, might start a project when he resumes office, and he's not going to finish that project till the next election. So that's what they do. So when they re-elect them for the next office, they will continue from where they stop, so that they'll keep embezzling more money. It's crazy, man. So yeah, that's about traffic. But you shared something with me before we started recording about your experience in Oshodi, and I think that was what even triggered me to record this podcast. Please, we would like to hear what happened to Young Pabby in Oshodi.
So that's a name I'll never forget, Oshodi. Like, I can forget everything in the world, but I'll not forget Oshodi, because it really had an effect on me. Not like a crazy effect, but then like an experience, you understand? So I think I left for Nigeria on Wednesday. We were not supposed to, like, I think they said we should wait. The person I was going to, the mother was like, yo, you guys should wait and come on Friday. But we're like, no, why don't? Let's just go. So we left on Wednesday. And then we, that same Wednesday, I think we left early. We left very early. We picked a bus from Ghana, and then it was a cute bus. It was just, so it was very fast. So we were in Nigeria. I've forgotten the name. I don't know the name of where we got to, but we got there around, let's say, 4 p.m. 4 p.m., yeah. So 4 p.m., I remember when we got down, we had to walk to some place and pick public transport. Ghana here is called Chocho. We picked that, and that was what we dropped at Oshodi. So when we picked the Chocho, I paid because I was having, I changed some naira. Yeah, so I paid and I placed my wallet in my bag. Now, I had a lot of stuff in my bag. I had clothes. I had a lot of things in my pomade and whatever, anything I'm going to use. And there was one big bag behind me. And I placed it in my bag. And then from there, I think we alighted at where we know Oshodi. We call Oshodi. I didn't even know what's called Oshodi. And the person I was working with was actually a female. So it was like, oh, let's pass here. So I think the place looked familiar in terms of, it's like a place in Ghana called Circle, you know. Get a lot, or even Accra, you understand? Yeah. Like a lot of people walking up and down, everybody's busy and all that. People were tight together and all that. So passing through all these people with the, I was actually following the person I was with here. So I made sure I kept in contact. And then when we got to, where we're supposed to pick another car to where we are going, I opened my bag and there was no wallet. I was like, wow, no, wait a minute. Between where the car stopped and where we're going to pick the car, we're walking through people, like, you know, body touching body and all that. Where I placed my wallet was in the middle of my clothes. So how? Wait, and it looked like if somebody could have taken that wallet from here to here, a lot of people saw it. I think it should be obvious, because the bag was behind me. For someone to open it and putting his hand inside my bag, people should see it.
Or maybe people saw it, or should I say the people that saw the whole thing happening, they also like part of the gang or something. They will still collect their coats or something, because it's like a community, you know. When they see people doing stuff, they don't want to snitch because they know the person doing, they'll go meet that person later and collect their cuts of the whole thing.
This was like a whole public, like we are in a public space. If even someone is following you, people are coming opposite, the opposite way. Bro, my wallet had all my money with my ID cards and everything. Bro. So it was when we got down, we got into the car, and that was when I was looking for my money. We were in a car actually. Like, yo, my money. It was like, which money? My wallet. Oh no. So we had to get down. And people were like, yo, where are you going? I just tried to trace where we came from. It was about 1,000 Ghana cedis. Okay. Yeah, so it was like 500 cedis. Yeah. So half was naira and half was cedis. That's a lot of, and even the money should go there, the ID card. Yeah. We had to wait for 2 or 3 years, or I think a year or two, to get another one, because that's when they'll be voting. Mm-hmm. And bro, the stress. And then that was when I heard the name of the place, Oshodi.
So you never forget Oshodi.
So no, actually, when we got to the house, yeah, and the mother, we were trying to explain this, where now? And then the person was like, Oshodi. I was like, Oshodi. I was like, what is Oshodi? Since the name of the place is like a place. I was like, damn, that's just like Circle. So I actually blamed the person I was working with, because the person could have told me, oh, Charlie, this place, you have to be careful. Because when I'm taking someone to Circle and the person is new, I'll be like, yo, Charlie, this place, just hold your phone. So I blamed the person full time. And then she was saying, okay, she didn't know my wallet was in my bag. It could be in my pocket. I could be holding it. Because if my clothes are in mine, but who is going to take your clothes? But because it's like wallet, she didn't think it was going to be in my bag. I was like, wow. And how they pick that wallet, only God knows. You have to open the bag, dip your hand inside the bag. Or no, I thought maybe they used juju or something, because at the end they could know there's something here. I'm just going for that thing straight, because where it was, bro, and because body is touching body, there's no way you're going to feel like there's a pressure on your back. And the bag was very huge. It was like a traveling this hiking bag.
Okay.
Yeah,
a backpack.
Yeah, backpack. Yeah. It's heavy. Wow. It's like, whoa, my experience at Oshodi, man. So I never forgot that name. Anytime I hear Oshodi, I'll be like, yo, these people, bro, that's a very crazy experience. I had to go to Nigeria and then, you know, go through all the stress, like there are things I wanted to buy, I couldn't buy them. And you know, you're going to visit someone, you can't worry the person and say, oh, give me money to do this. So I had to let them send me money from Ghana again, bro. That experience, man. But that's Nigeria. That's like a cool welcome for me.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Welcome to Lagos. It's crazy, man. On that notorious place you should look out for in Lagos is Mushi. Yeah, that's actually my hood, and Ojuelegba. You know, there are a lot of places like that too, you know. But it's one thing in Africa, like across Africa, there are places, even while we were here, I remember when we were in the car, they're like, yo, take up the window so that nobody would, you know, take your stuff. So it's really, really crazy. Even in New York, even anywhere in the world, they have places like that, you know. So welcome to Lagos, Charlie. But sorry it had to be that way. But anyway, the story should, you know, let you guys know that you have to be extra careful and security conscious, you know, whenever you're traveling, even as a solo traveler, or if you're traveling with people, you have to take extra precautions. But even at that, you know, the people that are meant to protect us, who are like the police, you know, back home in Lagos, some of them are like bad eggs. On my way here, I don't know, I think I shared the story with you, but for the sake of those that are just listening, I'll just, you know, share the story again. So, same Oshodi, but this time now, not hoodlums, it was the police. They stopped my Uber and they were like, where am I going to? I said I had a flight to catch and I was running late. You know, next thing they checked the boot, brought out my bag, and they saw a laptop in my bag. And normally, they're not even supposed to check your stuff if they don't have a warrant, you know, but because I wanted to cooperate with them so they don't waste my time, I said, okay, go ahead, check. So when they saw the laptop in the bag, they asked for the receipt. I had the receipt. Normally, a lot of people don't go about receipt because why would you expect people? What if, you know, you're not in the same country where you got your laptop from? Or what if you misplaced the receipt? Would they just assume automatically that it's a stolen laptop? So I had my receipt. I presented it to them, but the serial number on the receipt didn't correspond with the serial number on the laptop, so they said it was stolen. And what happened was I didn't update the receipt when I swapped the laptop, so that was the mistake, you know. So next thing they were like, they're going to take me to their police station. I was like, yo, you guys are wasting my time. I have like 30 minutes before, you know, I have to get to the airport. And like, you know, okay, this is what will happen. We'll collect your laptop when you come back from Ghana. Come and meet us at the police station. I'm like, are these people normal? Like, what do you expect me to do without my laptop? Like, I'm a tech person, you know, so I have to work with my laptop. And like, okay, so what can we do? And next thing they're like, they don't collect small money, you know. And this was a woman talking now, a woman from my tribe. I'm Igbo, you know. She was like, she doesn't collect small money. I should drop like 100,000 naira. I'm like, 100, that's like 1,000 CDs or more. I'm like, how much is the laptop? This laptop is not even up to 150. I want to collect. So are you robbing me? Like, do you want to steal the laptop from me? I'm like, nah. Like, so at the end of the day, they ended up collecting like, I think 30K. From my laptop before. And now they didn't even collect transfer. They made me use the POS. You understand? So that I'll give them cash so that it won't be traced to them. And this was the first time, you know, stuff like that would happen to me. So I didn't know so much, you know, how to. But after that, I learned my lesson that, number one, always look out for the ID of the police officer, their names and their number, so you report them and you get a refund. And if you're lucky enough to have somebody that works in the police academy or something, you know, they will help you get your money back. But unfortunately, I didn't take note of the name and the number on the uniform. So yeah, that was one horrible experience, and I felt really bad. But at the end of the day, I don't think the money they collected from you will be used for anything good, because you're collecting course money, you know, for yourself, your family, and everything. So it's really crazy, and I don't know when this is going to end, because just a few years ago, we were protesting about police brutality, oppression at the Lekki toll gate, and fast forward to 2022, the same thing is still happening. And the guy said that ordered the whole thing is contesting for president next year. So we are tired. We don't really know how that change we are craving for in Nigeria will come. If I don't know what J.J. Rollins did here in Ghana that made everything, but maybe we need to apply that same thing. Yeah, for real, man. Like, we need to, you know. But that's by the way, and it didn't spoil anything. When I got here, I had mad fun, you know. I'm not going to go into all that, you know. So, yeah, that's about traffic and, you know, the lifestyle and everything. But I also think Ghana and Lagos, we share some things in common. For a moment, I thought I was still in Lagos when I saw the roads. Like, it's almost the same thing. You know, same people, you know, everything. Even the pidgin language is almost the same. It's just that there's little difference. And I think I've learned some. What you want to say, leave arm. You guys say left arm. All I heard, I was like, yo, man. So do you want to talk more about, like, Ghanaian pidgin? Like,
with the Ghanaian pidgin, I feel it was actually derived from hearing Nigerians talk. Yeah, but you know, our pronunciations are different. They are different from your pronunciations. So, and we more like, I think, do people speak the British English?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. So that's because ours is always, we want it to be clear. We are pronouncing it the way they pronounce it. Oh, yeah, so Charlie, left arm. You understand? Yeah, we left arm. Yeah. We add, you see when you go to the university schools, yeah, we try to put the correct English into it. Although it's, you know, yeah, so Ghanaian pidgin actually started with listening to Nigerians speak their own pidgin, and we were able to, you know, cultivate our own style and try to make it our own way. Yeah, so that's it about the pidgin actually. Nigerian pidgin is dope. I mean, I feel it's cool. It's very dope. When you hear that, it's always funny when you hear Nigerians talking and they are speaking pidgin. Like, it's funny. I love Nigerian pidgin and the attitude behind it. Like, see that word, I feel like, yo, the person is cool with you, but I be like, wait, see now. You understand? It's so dope. I like it. Nigerian pidgin is dope. I like it. Yeah.
All right. I mean, there's so much to talk about, but I think we just limited to this one, so we don't give off so many things. But much later, you guys should just stay tuned, because I'm also going to be talking to some of my Ghanaian friends I made while I was here, you know, to hear their own perspective about, you know, Lagos as well. And on that note, we've come to the end of the Surviving the Cold podcast, and I've had Young Pabi on this particular episode. You can follow Young Pabi at Young Pabi Music. I know I got that right, because yeah, on all social media platforms, check out his music. He's dope, you know, one of the best out here. And I think I also met some other rappers while I was here, but we didn't really get to interact. I'm trying to remember his name. Yeah, Shaker. Yeah, I met him here too. And I met some of the directors as well. Director T, right? Shout out to Director T. Shout out to K Bingpong. Yeah, K Bingpong. You guys watch out for Walk Chop featuring Young Pabi and Vili, produced by Techzilla and, you know, by myself on my forthcoming EP. The video was also directed by Young Pabi. Brilliant concept. In fact, I don't want to say so much about it. Wait till it drops. All right, guys. Peace out. And make sure you subscribe to the Surviving the Cold podcast. It's your homeboy, Feko. One love.